Hey guys, it's Keith.
And this is Jesse.
And this is New Player Has Joined,
a podcast about the video games people love and why they love them. Guys, if you love video games, if you love video game culture, if you love the nostalgia of the games you played when you were a child, then come over and listen to New Player Has Joined.
We talk to a lot of great comedians about their favorite games, like Ron Funches with The Last of Us, Adam Conover with Fez.
So listen to New Player Has Joined on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And now, back to whatever it was you were listening to before. Probably an ad for Casper or Quip or something.
Or the show.
That's true.
The big in big wireless provider stands for a lot of things. Big contracts, big bills, and big fees. What big wireless doesn't want you to know is there's a way to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Introducing Mint Mobile, the game-changing company that's taken everything wrong with big wireless and made it right. Mint Mobile makes it so easy to cut your bill down to just $15 a month. You can even keep your old number, along with all your existing contacts, with any Mint Mobile plan. There's no more paying for unlimited data that you'll never use. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, plus free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card, go to mintmobile.com/podcast. That's mintmobile.com/podcast. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and get free shipping on your Mint Mobile SIM card at mintmobile.com/podcast.
It's a good show.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it go time?
It's go time. You bet your bottom dollar.
You bet your bottom dollar.
I mean, you say it like that, I think you're mocking mm-hmm. Native Americans. If that was Native American Orphan Annie,
what?
You bet your bottom dollar. You bet your bottom wonton.
What's it got to do with Native Americans?
Like, it's like, oh, catch him, big buffalo.
Oh, okay. Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Speaking of which, I don't know what's going on with the news or anything. I don't know who's right, who's wrong, but man, I'd like to punch that kid right square in his punchable fucking face with his fucking smirk.
I saw that, and then that was my immediate reaction, because that's what that video clip was. And then somebody else was like, watch the rest of this video, but you'll see this. But if you watch the more this video from this day, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not. What am I going to do? Just get mad at it? Yeah. I'm leaving it alone.
I mean, I'd want to punch that kid, even if he didn't have a MAGA hat on. Just some about a smarmy little fucking teenager. But, you don't know shit about shit.
But
Wipe that grin off your face.
That's why I stopped reading it. Because somebody else was like, if you watch this whole video, you see that they marched up and were antagonizing the MAGA hat kids, which, as much as I think that's shitty, it was just everything that's wrong with everything. Yeah. You read a headline and you react to it. Yeah. You see 30 seconds of a 10-minute long video and you react to that. I'm like, I'm not falling for it. Yeah. I'm out. I immediately, of course, I wanted to punch that dude too, but I was like, but... As soon as I heard, like, watch the whole video, I'm like, I'm not watching anything else. I'm staying away from it.
We all know how antagonizing those elderly Native Americans can be.
Oh, yeah.
Always starting shit.
That's what I said. But it's like, because they were saying then there's a different group there that was provoked. I'm like, nah, man. Nope. Yeah. Good luck, rest of the world.
Yeah. I just don't care anymore.
It's not that I don't care, but I think I'd rather preserve my own happiness.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, outside of being of like doing things to take action, donating your time or money to help a cause, mm-hmm. just looking at something online and then getting pissed about it.
Yeah.
If being angry doesn't result in action, what's the point?
Yeah.
If me being happier means I'm more tolerant in the world and mm-hmm. happier to be around people, then I think that's the extent of it.
Yeah.
For me, I'm glad people are out there doing shit, but. You know, I'll get pissed off enough and go handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go handle it.
Go handle it.
I'll get pissed off. I'll go take care of it.
Take care of this shit. Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, man.
We haven't seen each other this year, except for, I think we, yeah. No, was it? No, that wasn't this year. That was last year.
Yeah. It's January 22nd right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was out of town all of 2019 until 2 days ago.
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
You traversed the nation.
Dude, just out there, just road dogging it.
Just like the old days.
Just what was that old some old dumb road dog comedy? Some road comic joke. Man, we're just like long haul truckers. We're just hauling jokes.
Ugh.
It's like, okay.
Ugh.
Some old road dog told me that. It's like, yeah, well, all right. But yeah, man, I was driving all over the place. The other day I woke up, my last tour stop was in Amarillo, and woke up the next morning at like 5 a.m. Haven't been sleeping well. And by the way, if I'm slurring my speech, it's because I bit the fuck out of the back of my tongue. Now I got this fucking...
Oh, and then you keep biting it kind of thing?
Yeah.
When you go? Just now at lunch?
Last night. But anyway...
Are you back to the biting you in the inside of your face?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just biting my tongue, my
cheek.
Chew
your way out of your own face?
I don't know what's going on.
Dave's so hungry, he's eating his own head.
But yeah, I drove... I drove... 1,077 miles in one day, just cause. Didn't have to get back.
That's three times the sign. That song. Well, they would walk 500 miles.
Yeah,
you drove 1,700 miles.
No, 1,077. 1,077.
Oh, so you drove twice the length of the song.
Yeah.
What was the name of that band?
Was that the Bodines? No, that was.
No.
I would walk five.
Yeah.
I
mean, I could look it up, but don't you sometimes you just want to know?
Yeah. Bodines was the one. They were the ones that did the Friends theme song.
No, that was the Rembrandts. And the Rembrandts. I know that quickly enough.
Then maybe it's the Bodines.
No, Bodines did a song that sounds like the song from the Friends soundtrack.
Ah.
How about some unlicensed music? You betcha. All right. I'll start Friends theme.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Friends theme song. Give me the volume. That is by the Rembrandts.
Rembrandts.
So, but I know the Bodine song you're thinking about. Oh, I'm not going to listen to your goddamn ad.
The Proclaimers?
I am the Annie Oakley. The Proclaimers, that's right.
Ah.
I am the Annie Oakley of the play your ad after 5 seconds. Like,
I don't get the reference.
So you could shoot a quarter out of the sky.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, once this thing, like, it doesn't even hit 0.001. Come on it. Skip ad.
Skip.
All right. Here's Friends theme.
Okay.
And I get it because I know Bodines.
So that's the Rembrandts.
So this is the song. All right. Let me queue up. I'm going to DJ this shit. Watch this. All right. Friends theme. It's because everybody knows the chorus of the Friends. Get the chorus. Mm-hmm. Get the chorus in your head.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bodines.
What's the name of this song?
Wow. See?
Whoa,
very
yeah.
Similar.
Very similar.
But I like the Bodines tune.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody knows that one. That is the Proclaimers.
Oh, it's the Proclaimers. Okay, gotcha.
That old comparison was neither here nor there about nothing.
Yeah.
You said I drove 1,077 miles, and we found out that the Bodines and the Rembrandts ripped each other off.
Yeah.
That's what it's about here. Getting to the bottom of shit nobody needed to get to the bottom of.
I won't do it now, but maybe in a future episode I'll show you how Chevelle ripped off Deftones for modern rock listeners.
Nobody would know the difference between those two bands.
there's a riff that, I mean, it's like identical. Like, dude, like it was so blatant.
You want to get that world is in punk rock is just fat records.
Yeah.
Listen to how this fat records band, like they're that... label that had a sound and every band fit that sound. Like strung out. I mean, they're all good in their own way, but
yeah.
Anyway, that's a deep cut. But yeah, it started with NOFX and then every band that sounded like NOFX got put on Fat Records.
Yeah.
fuck are we talking about?
I don't know. Welcome back, buddy.
You too, man.
It's good to be back. It's been a long time. We haven't recorded together in 2 months.
Yeah, it would be beginning of December, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Hot dang.
Yeah, so, but you know, we had to handle our business. You had to go to Europe.
I had to.
We had to celebrate the holidays.
I had to go.
I had to go to the Midwest. So, tell me, Europe.
Oh, man. So, we went to Paris first.
Okay. France?
pretty sure. I don't know, man. One of them. It was all the protests were going on.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, we're going to do protests, but only on the weekends, so we don't screw too much stuff up.
Really?
And then we weren't staying by where it was really going. When we landed, part of the street was, like, the one street we had to cross was just filled with protesters. I felt bad because I think our driver, like, the most, like, when you watch a movie that has a fumbling foreigner in it, that was the guy who was getting us from the airport. It was this French guy who forgot where he parked, and it was just him trying to communicate in French, like, je sois, je sais pas. And then he would just point at an escalator, and we'd follow him up an escalator, and then he'd get to the top of the escalator with the most defeated look and be like, oh, je suis, ça fait. And then we'd get on an escalator going down. I'm like, this is like a fucking Jerry Lewis movie.
Was he riding a bicycle with a baguette sticking out of the basket?
He should have been. It was just the most fumbling Frenchman clown.
Wow.
And then trying to cross the street where every way he would go around, there'd be protesters. You could see him. I think he was new and still, like, being polite, like, but getting frustrated. We're like, we're all right, buddy. Don't worry about us. But, I mean, it was just it's France, man.
Yeah.
We got to the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame and, I forget which ship. Something, Cathedral de Chapelle or something. There's all the stained glass. Just anything, seeing anything, like, yeah, this was built in, 900. Like, when years were only 3 digits
long. Yeah, that's crazy.
This is when stuff was built. So, and then the protests, we finally, like, at night, we're walking around where the protests had happened. Uh-huh. And, like, only banks were smashed up. I was like, good, fuck them.
What were they protesting?
It initially started, the reason they were wearing the yellow jackets is because that's what every driver has to have in their car in case you have to stop on the side of the road to change your tire. By law, you have to put this yellow jacket on. So, initially, it was fuel protests.
Okay.
Like, rising fuel prices. But it's a lot of the same thing that's here, except I think we're kind of complacent with our distractions in America. It was that it became more than just fuel prices. It was just about rising cost of living without rising pay.
Okay.
Same thing everywhere.
Yeah.
It's more expensive to work and to live, but the jobs aren't paying you an equal amount, you know, compensation for how much everything else is going up. And it was just arguing with the government. Tax rich people.
Yeah.
Stop taxing people that already can barely afford it. Tax the people that can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so that was, and it started with the cab drivers putting on the yellow vest because the cab drivers were getting hit the most with fuel costs. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else joining in with it.
Can we put a pin in that real quick?
Yeah, man.
I want to mention this. All right. There's been a lot of that going on.
Whoa, veer off topic. I don't know about that, Dave.
I wanted to get your opinion on this. And we're not political. All right, and I'm not trying to be political, but there's been a lot of talk recently.
Let's take a hard stance in 2019.
A lot of talk about taxation and stuff like that. Tax the rich. Okay, here's my problem or my question. All right, let's just say for the sake of the argument, for the sake of the example, let's just use. I know we don't have necessarily a flat tax system, but for the sake of this hypothetical, let's just say what do you think the average tax income tax is? Roughly 20%, 25%, something like that? Let's just call it 20%. And I'm not really taking a stance either way. I'm asking. I have some socialist friends who are like, I guess it all started when what's-her-name came out, wanted the rich to be taxed like 70% or something
AOC.
Like that. Here's my problem, okay? Let's just say everybody hypothetically is paying 20% tax, all right? The guy who makes $30,000 a year, all right, if he's getting taxed 20%, that's whatever that is, $6,000, okay? But the guy who's making $1 million a year, isn't his 20%, like his 20% is still a shit ton more than the $30,000 a year guy. Why should the millionaire's percentage go up? If anything, because, his should go down.
Because of what it costs to live. You want to tax rich people less?
No, I'm not saying, but I'm saying hypothetically.
The guy who lives in a van wants to tax rich people.
But hypothetically, the 5% of the millionaires' tax is more than 20% of the 30,000 guys.
You're the one in a million quote that some Trump supporter would use. See, he agrees.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you could make that argument. A millionaire could be like, hey, 5% of my income is more than 50% of that asshole.
But it's the sense that, all right, 20% off of 30,000 is
six.
$6,000.
Six
now you got to live off 24,000.
Uh-huh.
Try to live off 30,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
And now live off $24,000 a year.
No, I'm not saying.
But your taxes should be. Now, if you got $3 million, mm-hmm. that's 600. That's $600,000. What would be off of
20%? Yeah.
$120,000. Mm-hmm. You still got 404. Well, fuck, I'm trying to do math.
And I get all that, but it does just. Doesn't it kind of seem like we're penalizing people for being successful?
No, I think. You can afford. Nobody needs. You have basic needs in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, food, water, shelter, power. Your basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
The cost for those things and living mm-hmm. somewhat reasonable to where you work. Eventually, you can make enough money where you can sustain well above and beyond those means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should be, you know, tax the living fuck out of them, mm-hmm. but I think they can pay more.
Mm-hmm.
I pay more.
But that's my point is 20% is still more. Like their 20% is still a shit ton more than that guy's 20%. That's all I'm saying is why should the percentage go up?
For someone who has $1 billion?
20% is still a shit ton of money for a guy who makes a million, whatever.
Maybe because somebody who's got billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Even that much more percentage doesn't affect their life at all.
I mean, I get that.
Whereas a 3% tax change affects somebody's life mm-hmm. if they make below $50,000 a year.
And again, I don't really have a stance either way. I've just always been confused by that. Like,
and that would be a rich person's argument. Like, mm-hmm. why am I paying more just because I mean, did you really work harder? Like, did somebody who made $4 billion play in the stock market work harder than a construction worker?
Well, there's always a scenario that could prove that point. But what about the guy who busted his fucking ass, you know, worked five jobs to put himself through college, started a business, sacrificed all this stuff, and now, hey, one day I wake up and I'm successful, you know?
And that's how you see, like, how could anybody think that this is unfair? It's like, well, yeah, some people who never had any money, like, how could, it seems hypocritical. And I mean, without going into numbers, yeah, I'm doing a lot better than I ever have in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels pretty unfair. Because mm-hmm. I've been, you know, I decided to pursue something in art. So I was below the poverty line
mm-hmm.
for a long time. And I chose that. I chose to not pursue what my my college degree is in general studies. Mm-hmm. Like, they made me graduate after 7 years. Like, you took enough classes, you're graduating. But I didn't try to find a job like, I want to make a lot of money during the day. I'm like, no, I know I want to do comedy at night, mm-hmm. and I don't want any distractions. So I want some shit day job mm-hmm. that'll pay my bills, but is never going to want a lot out of me. You know,
mm-hmm.
something that when I show up in exhausted and hungover, that's on me. I'm not one of these people that, boy, and you know, I was a doctor during the day and I pursued comedy at night. That mm-hmm. wasn't going to be me.
Yeah.
So I put in my time living below the poverty line by choice mm-hmm. to pursue comedy. And then comedy worked out. And cool, I don't have to worry about that stuff for now. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? I could piss it all away. But I do look at how much I get paid versus how much I actually get paid. I make less than half
yeah.
of what a check says. Because 30-some percent is out for taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then agents, managers, 10% each there, 5% to a lawyer. That's another 25%. So that's mm-hmm. 55% that's already gone, let alone now they're what you can write off is less. So mm-hmm. I don't get you write off your flights and all this stuff. And sometimes it's compensated for depending on the gig, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're spending a lot to get there. I'm like, oh, I worked real hard to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
but also fucking, yeah, I got lucky. I do believe in, like, yeah, some people didn't get luck. Some people didn't work out that way. If it's, yeah, I think, I see what your argument is.
Yeah, I just get annoyed. And by the way, this doesn't affect me because I'm not rich, but I just get annoyed. There's just this, oh, anybody who's wealthy got fucking lucky. No, some people busted their fucking ass while other people chose to be content with a menial job. And yeah. I'm not knocking people with minimum wage jobs. I was that guy for years. No. But I'm saying some people have a fucking motor and they get up and they go and do whatever it takes to achieve what they want to achieve. And some people just ain't too concerned about it. And that's fine.
And some people had three kids and whichever spouse decided to run off and leave them raising that. And now they're working at whatever job because they thought they were going to be a stay-at-home parent. And now they got to get a job. What are you going to get a job at? That now you got to pay for daycare. Yeah, they should not be taxed the same as anybody who makes, I don't know what figure, but anybody who makes over $1 million a year. How the fuck are you living that you need $1 million a year? Unless you're some international that you need to buy world, like, traveling plane tickets every week and your expenses are that high, you can afford to part with more of your money than someone with less than can.
Well, of course.
Every dollar is accounted for when you make $30,000 a year. When you make $5 million a year, you don't know where the fuck that's going.
But I guess my original point is, you know, going off that 20% hypothetical, like the guy who makes $1 million a year, he's like, 20%, my tax is $200,000. Is that not enough? You got to raise my percentage? That's just the thing I have a problem with.
I don't know if that, if you make $1 million a year and you, my thing is maybe tax it after, if I've made $1 million a year over the course of 5 years, so I know that's what's coming in, then tax me higher. Somebody might make $1 million in 1 year and make $40,000 in next year.
Yeah.
But again, that's like, oh, you won on the lot. Like when somebody bitches about winning the lottery, like, yeah, how much is going to go in taxes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't have that money in the first place.
Yeah.
I guess it's accepting that taxes exist before you ever get paid and know that.
Yeah.
That's why I always opted for, like, what was it? Always opt for one dependent, or is it you put like one dependent when you get taxed and then you get more in your check?
I never quite understood how that
you put zero dependents, so they take, but I don't know.
Hey guys, want to let you know about Stitch Fix. It's an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, your budget, and your lifestyle. Now, I've downloaded the app. You can go directly to stitchfix.com/boogie, or you can download the app. Basically, they have all these different types of clothes, you know, shirts, pants, shoes, accessories. You can thumbs up or thumbs down. They throw all these options at you, and basically they're trying to figure out your style. Now, my style is
wear them once and ghost them.
Yeah, my style is basically just black Carhartt t-shirts and cargo shorts. But I feel like I need to stretch it out a little bit and kind of broaden
you're having trouble stretching out your shirts.
Yeah. I need to broaden my stylistic horizon with my clothes. So seriously, they just throw all these different things at you, and you basically thumbs up, thumbs down. They kind of get to know your style, and then they send you stuff. And if you like it, you keep it, then you pay for it. If you don't like it, you send it back, and you don't pay for it.
Do they have spats?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Tri-cornered hats.
I don't think they have
cummerbunds.
You'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will handpick 5 items to send right to your door. Then you try them on, pay for what you keep. Don't pay for what you don't keep. Shipping, exchanges, returns, always free. No subscription required. You can sign up. You can receive scheduled shipments or get your fix whenever you want. Stitch Fix styling fees, only $20, and they apply that towards anything you buy. So really, you know, it's not really a fee, but they take that on whatever your first order. So anyway, get started now. StitchFix.com/boogie. You'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. That's StitchFix.com/boogie.
Keep all these items in your box.
Get you started today. StitchFix.com/boogie. Get on it.
Get them in your box. Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, what are you doing for home security?
What am I doing for home security?
Yeah.
Dude, I got a brand new machete and I got two meat cleavers.
Okay, but if that's not your style, what about SimpliSafe home security?
Oh.
Have you ever thought about that? Because, I mean, machetes only work if they've already breached your perimeter.
That's true. Well, that's what I leave my doors unlocked for that exact reason.
Oh, you just want it.
Come on in.
Well, if you're not quite the same as Dave, how about SimpliSafe home security? You want to keep your home and your family safe. It's a 24/7 home security. No contracts, no catches. That's it. SimpliSafe believes the safest place on earth should be your own home. So if you don't have a bunker yet, you should get SimpliSafe and feel protected every time you shut your door and leave for work or shut your eyes at night. More than 3 million people already feel this way every day thanks to SimpliSafe. So if you're out there trying to rob fools, look out, because 3 million of them got SimpliSafe, and one of them has a new machete. Anyway, they're not the only ones. The 3 million, they're not the only people. Do you know the folks at PC Mag? They named SimpliSafe both Editor's Choice and Reader's Choice for 2018. That means the people read it, and they said, we like it. And the editor's like, let's check it out. Oh, that's we like cool. it too. So everybody involved with PC Mag, they chose it. 2019 feels like a good year to ask yourself, is my home as safe as it could be? Unless you have a cannon pointed at it, a la Wile E. Coyote, maybe not. If you're not sure, get it. I've got one, and so far, I haven't been robbed. So it's doing a great job. And you get all the stuff. You get a little camera, and you get a whole thing. You could set up the camera and the alarm system, and it's great.
I believe you.
And go, but you know what? Hey, don't take it from me. Go to SimpliSafe.com and learn about it. And then when you like it, go to SimpliSafe.com/boogie to get going. SimpliSafe.com/boogie. To protect your home and family today. Aren't they worth it? It's your home and your family. How many of those are you going to have? Go to SimpliSafe.com/boogie because you ain't messing around with no fools. All right? Have you seen The Purge?
Yeah.
You get SimpliSafe.com/boogie to protect yourself from The Purge. Everything short of blow darts. SimpliSafe.com/boogie.
Anyway. But oh, speaking of which, real quick, I won't name his name because I don't have all the facts. But there's an actor slash comedian, you may have heard this story, that years ago was on a big hit TV show, and he got a divorce, and then the judge set his alimony.
Oh, no, Dave Foley talks about it openly.
Okay,
no, Dave Foley from Canada, he's talking about it on many.
That's insane. How they whatever he's
that's Canadian law. Yeah, I think that's very unjust. They set his alimony at what he was making.
Yes, and now he's like, I haven't been on a sitcom in 20 years. I don't make that anymore. And but his alimony's still the same. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to get all fucking. That's like a men's rights thing. We're like, well, you want to talk about how sex. Gender inequality, look at divorce court where it's like they do tend to side with the woman in the case, and maybe that stuff is unfair. Like, yeah, that's it. Like, man, I've got plenty of friends like, yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And I don't have personal experience knowing that one story. That seems very unfair.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, well, we got used to this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you got used to eating every day. Like, you can change your lifestyle. Like, oh, we got used to having a pool. What if I have to have a house without a pool now? Big fucking deal. But there's no, you know, hard pasted law that, oh, yeah, well, your life will be worse.
Yeah.
Because you're like, who gets to decide what comfort is? I had an old roommate that bitch. I was complaining about something menial. Like, I forget what I was bitching about. Some, like, who got a show that I didn't get a show, like some gig or something. He's like, everybody, like somebody that doesn't know your level of frustration with the world is still feels the same pain.
Yeah.
Like a rich kid that got the wrong color BMW.
Yeah.
Because they don't have perspective.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like there's starving kids in Africa thing. Yeah. They don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what a starving kid in Africa feels like. So in no way is that an effective argument to get you to appreciate the food you don't like eating. You knew you were going to get a car for your 16th birthday and not getting the right color. Like, you're fucking devastated. And he was, I realized what he was trying to tell me. I'm like, but that's a spoiled brat. It's like, well, whose fault is that for them not having perspective in the world? As my friend Monty says, compare and despair. Especially in showbiz. If you compare, you despair.
Yeah,
well, they got true. This, they got that. I try to be like, yeah, but I'm always like, oh, man, I wish I could, like, I want a tour and a tour bus and this and that. It's like, you're fine.
Yeah.
Stop worrying. Like, you're good.
Yeah.
On the same note, you can get real comfortable. Like, I'm fine. And then, I don't know. I'm full of coffee, and I have many opinions about this. But it's like, when does being, like, happy with what you're working on and content also bleed into, like, not wanting more, even though you can get it if you worked a little bit harder?
Yeah.
Like if you're happy making this much money a year and having this many shows and you're truly happy, then that's the pursuit.
Yeah.
Pursuit of happiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Anyway, yeah, I didn't mean to sidetrack us there. I want to hear, like, you know, a socialist opinion side of that story of, like, I just, to me, based on that math, 20% of a million is still a shit ton more than 20 million of 30% or 30,000. So, like, why? Like, I just feel like that should be enough. Taxes the same percent.
Because I think in theory, they don't need the money as much.
But that's such a dangerous don't need. Who's to say what we need? Like, I fucking earned it.
Look at it in terms of food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at it in terms of, all right, you and your, let's say, your wife and your three kids. I'm going to fuck this up. But, all right, let's say you got 10 apples for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to part with 20% of that. You're going to part with two apples. You got 8 apples for 5 people for a week. A millionaire has, let's say a guy's got 100 apples.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Wife, 3 kids. Got 100 apples. 20% of 100 apples, 20. Now he's got 80 apples to feed his family. A lot of those apples are going to go rotten. Now,
he still gave the government 10 times more apples than the other guy.
Not compared to what he had. He gave him 20% of what he had.
But it's still a lot more apples going into that community pot than the other guy.
That's 20 apples. What's going on with 80 apples? Now, is he being charitable with 80 apples? Is he taking apples and shooting arrows through them off his kid's head? Now, you don't even have enough apples to feed your family, and you're watching a guy drill a hole and fuck half his apples because that's what he's got them.
Maybe that guy.
That seems like he can afford to part with a little bit more apples than the guy who doesn't have enough apples.
But that's my point. He is departing with a lot more, even though the percentage is the same. He's departing with more apples than the other guy.
No, he's not, because that's what a percentage is. It's more.
Cumulatively, he's departing with more apples. He's putting more apples.
The amount that he has left, percentage-wise, is the same amount.
Yes.
Well, if it's 2 out of 10 or 200 out of 1,000.
That's all I'm saying. Why should the percentage go up? He's already.
Because he can get rid of more apples. Oh, my problem is where the apples are going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I know I sound like a fucking rich Republican.
No,
and I'm
but
not.
It's a good argument. No, everybody knows you're not. But but it's a good argument to have because this is the way people think.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, because they have them to spare, should they spare them, is the argument. And that is what people fear about socialism and communism is that, no, it's all equal and we all get the same. Because then what's the incentive to make somebody work harder?
Yeah.
Why work harder if you know you're going to get the surplus of someone who did work hard? And that's the argument that people have against welfare. It's like these people get used to welfare and then they just keep having kids because they know they get welfare checks. Yeah, that's a horrible, real example of how that system is abused.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you hear about it being abused that way, go and look up how a story about how somebody's like, thank God welfare was there because then I did have kids. I got stuck in a situation, but then I did pull myself. Like, how many fucking people do you hear about? Like, yeah, my mom was a single mom that raised 4 kids, and I knew we were going to be on our own, so we worked hard and put money back into the family.
Yeah.
You know, the good examples of where that happened. You can always find a shit example of something you want to hate or a great example of something you want to praise.
Of course.
Look for the opposite one.
Yeah.
You know, to try and level things out.
Okay.
But I think that's why, like, socialism, oh my God, the socialists are going to invade. But yeah. You're all paying the same amount to have a police force, to have a fire department, to have your roads fixed. It's already happening. Mm-hmm. Why are you so afraid of having that done for healthcare?
That's true. That's true.
Like, isn't a great nation like, hey, when you're sick, do you feel great? This is base level. When you're sick, mm-hmm. do you feel great? No, you even say, I don't feel too great right now. You want to make America great? What if it's healthier? That's the definition of feeling great.
Yeah.
Making it great, make it healthy. That's the one I can't like. Do you? And again, what do you want to tax rich people for more? Like, it's rich people that can already afford their own excellent health care. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the argument. Like, you want to make me charge more money because poor people can't afford great health care? So they don't see the, but defense spending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why you have poor people going, I don't give a fuck. You want to bomb me? Bomb me. I'm sick. I can't afford to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't get out of this rut of trying to raise my kids while working three jobs. Fucking let the nuke fall on me and put us all out of our misery. And you want to spend money on defense and more military shit? Again, the argument from the richest person is still a real argument for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Anyway, I talked out my ass. In my head, it made sense, but you know, I had this this butter cinnamon coffee. It's got me shitting out my brain right now.
Back to Europe. So Paris was awesome.
Anyway, back to
what's the best thing you ate in France?
France. We went out for some sort of mini French food. A little too buttery, too
really?
Rich.
Really?
If I can be,
I don't think I've ever had French food. Aunt. I don't think I've ever had French food.
It's. You know what I didn't get? I didn't get some of the classics I should have. I didn't get escargot, which I'm not grossed out about. It. Snails, whatever.
Yeah, what do I care?
Land shrimp.
Yeah.
I'll eat them. But we didn't get that. But we had some. It was all. It's just, it's too much. It's too buttery.
Well, what'd you have? Give me an example.
The bread was the shit.
Really?
Walking around just getting. Somebody had told Rage, like, just get a baguette. Get a hunk of cheese and some meat from the store. Just walk around, just eating that as a bite. Just rip off a piece of bread, put a little bit of cheese, a little bit of meat on it, and just eating that. That is the shit. She got me a $50 gift certificate to the Cheesemongers of Sherman Oaks. So I got some fancy cheeses in there if you want to try them after this.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was asking the guy, like, I never got, like, I don't know cigars or how wine is, like, but cheeses? Oh, I think I might.
Yeah.
I think that's my thing now.
Really? Cheese guy.
Because the guy, I'm like, what do you do with this? He's like, I drizzle a little bit of honey on it. I'm like, you bet your fucking ass I'll drizzle honey. Roquefort cheese?
Oh, yeah.
It's like blue cheese that's even gotten funkier. Yeah. He's like, I put a little honey on it. I'm like, I'm going to put some honey on it.
Mm.
That was the biggest sucker. I'm like, what? Oh, it's this $15 jar of honey? Yes, give it to me. I'm not going to fuck around with some Ralph's brand honey.
Yeah. Get the good shit.
Yeah. But anyway, so France, we went there. We ate at, I was eating my steaks and everything. I had a French burger that was very good.
Ooh. So you went off your vegetarianism?
Oh, way off of it. No gout. Thank God. But it went way off. And the weirdest thing was, I think I thought I was going to like eat meat and then be like, oh shit, I gotta have it. Like, I was gonna go full vampire, taste the blood thing.
Yeah.
I was eating, I was like, this is good, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, so glad to be back.
Okay.
But best food, man, Italy.
What'd you have in Italy?
All the shit.
Give me details.
Pastas.
Keep talking.
Bolognese. Walked into one place, looked corny as hell. Any place you walk into is gonna be good.
Yeah.
Al dente pasta. They make it out there. It's not, you get so used to pasta, it's all mushy now. Yeah. You can't have it.
Okay.
Just fresh Parmesan cheese, you bet your fucking ass. Give me fresh Parmesan cheese.
So what's the dish you had? Just some.
I had bolognese a couple times.
Over what type of pasta?
I just got spaghetti. I don't even know. I was just pointing at the menu. I told you the one restaurant with a little old Italian lady like rolling the pasta, hand rolling to the window. I'm like, I'm just going to point at the menu here. Then I wound up getting rabbit. I got no pasta whatsoever. But even rabbit's real good.
Yeah.
But it makes you earn it.
Yeah.
Rabbits are tiny animals.
Yeah.
You're really digging in there.
How did they serve it?
It just came out looking like a chicken.
Like a whole.
Like a roasted chicken. No, it wasn't like assembled. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't tell it was a rabbit anymore.
Oh, it was disassembled?
Yeah, it didn't come out looking like it was ready to, like, you know,
like
Peter Cottontail on a plate or nothing. Come out with a carrot in its mouth. But, man, that was good. I'm trying to remember now because now it's been over a month. But it was just, everywhere we walked into, it was just going to be good.
Okay.
Like, let's just walk it. Even just like a place that would look like a 7-Eleven still had this fresh like deli counter with cheeses and this and that. I'm like, oh, give me this party platter, and just had it back in the room to eat every night when we got back. And then in Spain, paella. You ever get a paella?
Ooh, I like it, a paella.
I always look at it like it's kind of – that was the wrong accent for that too. But I like who had a real kick being an Italian in Barcelona all of a sudden.
I like it, a paella.
That's the country's wrong and it probably – well, that was what I was joking about. We're in Italy and every place that was just a trattoria. I kept singing Notorious by Duran Duran and it was funny every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. I had a good time doing it.
So you had some paella?
Paella was the shit. We went to this place. Otherwise, Spain was our taper off. Like, we did all the tourist stuff in Paris and in Rome. And then Spain, like, let's just wander around, have drinks and food.
You get to ham? You get up on that ham?
Yeah, we fucked right. Yeah, they took the ham. I told you about that ham. Did you get that ham? Did you eat that ham?
Dude.
Did it stand up? Because it went through a lot.
Yes.
It traveled.
You smuggled ham back for me.
Some of it didn't make it. Some of them, the bitch at O'Hare, bitch, a dude. I'm sorry, that's not as a female. Just as a general derogatory statement for a bitch ass fucking, oh, that. I caught some heat for this. Just saying it on, like, government shutdown. It sucks. Working without pay. Then I saw somebody like, be sure to say thanks to a TSA agent for working for free. As far as I'm concerned, they're getting paid for doing a non-job in the first place. Yeah. You're doing theater.
Yeah.
I've already said my piece before about TSA.
Yeah.
But, oh, thank you. Thank you for the only time it's either been an experience that is you did your job,
uh-huh.
which was look at the machine. This looks weird. Okay, I get it. I got recording equipment. Or you've given me a hard time because you had a shit day and you used your authority to stop me from trying to get on a plane.
Their little sing-songy condescension. This means your shoes. This means your belt. This means your laptop. Yeah, I get it. Like, I've flown before.
Yeah.
I got it.
I mean, I know it's in place for people that haven't done that. You always have to assume somebody's never been to the airport. But just... anyway, that's its whole argument. I love how everybody was like, the TSA sucks, and now government shutdown is like, be sure to say thanks to a TSA worker. Like, fuck you. You hated them 2 weeks before this happened, and now you're like, boy, thanks for keeping the skies safe.
Yeah.
Get bent. Anyway, that's who took the ham.
Yeah.
Because Rachel wanted to fill out the landing card. I'm like, oh, do you have anything to declare? She's like, oh, I better put down the ham. I'm like, never tell them shit.
Yeah.
You know, as my sister says, ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, she's putting it, I'll put it on mine too. And so we got to go through the second thing, and I go through, her backpack comes out first. The guy's like, is this the one with the ham in it? I had ham in my bag too. And I see him grab her bag, like, yeah, you can't take this in. I'm like, my lips were sealed as soon as that happened. He's like, I can't take this in. Because like, as soon as he's like, any other bags? I'm like, nope. But I'm asking, like, why can't we bring that in? We bought it in the airport. We bought it in the airport in Spain.
Yeah.
In an airport. But I was like, why can't we have this? He's like, it's against the rules. Like, that was it. Like, no, that's my problem with TSA agents. They're enforcing things without knowing how to explain to somebody why they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's a real just following order situation.
Yeah.
So like, oh, why is it? It's in the book. I'm like, can I see the book? I'd have to Xerox a lot of pages out of that book if everybody asked to see them. I'm like, hey, man, enjoy that ham, dude.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great holiday. I feel safer now that you're in charge. But I was like, oh, I'm going to get into it. And we just landed in Chicago. I'm like, just get me the fuck away from these people. Because fuck you. You really think they're throwing that out?
Yeah.
Horse shit are they throwing that stuff out.
No.
You want to have a good holiday? Go to a TSA agent's house on Christmas. Because they're giving away. I bet they got a great spread of delicacies from around the world.
Well, I appreciate all the trouble.
Yeah, you got some.
It was worth it. That shit was good.
It's like a slice of butter.
Oh, it was so good.
It's so thin. Fuck. And it just like melts.
Yeah.
It melts in your mouth.
Oh, man. I was wrapping it around olives, mm-hmm. wrapping it around little pickles. Oh,
it's like if cellophane was ham.
Yeah. Oh. So good.
I wonder if you just can't shave ham that thin. Like, is it the density of it?
I think they just shave it so thin that.
But they had it in the window. It was like all the full ham legs. And I guess Rachel read some. It's because there's something like black hoof ham is the best. So that's like proving to you that the hoof is like a black hoofed pig.
Oh, okay.
Which it was a
keeping
little
it on the leg.
It was a little morose than all these. It was like a, you know, like a just a disembodied chorus line, disembodied pork chorus line.
Oh man!
In the window, and they were just slowly. It has a special knife. Especially a loose knife, just that, so you couldn't even put too much pressure, to cut it too deep.
Mm. Oh boy,
damn,
it's a good time. So, Paris, you said Rome, Barcelona,
the history of like walking around the Colosseum, like walking around something that old.
You sent me some pictures, and like, of course, see, I've never traveled abroad, but like. Of course, I'm aware of some of this great world history, you know, the ancient Rome and the ruins and the Colosseum, but like, I can't imagine like just experiencing it firsthand.
But even, I mean, you've done more, like even just driving through the American South, where that's most of American history that's found on the East Coast and the South, like, you know, Civil War battlefields, even walking around that going like, oh, I'm touching the I'm standing in the same building that somebody stood in 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Even that alone to think about.
That's crazy. 300 years.
Yeah, this wall looked the same to a pair of eyes 300 years ago.
Yeah.
And then doing that, but with 1,000. Well, what was that shit? What did they say? That Now I didn't retain the information.
That ancient Rome, what's that, 2,000 years?
Ancient Rome, yeah. That was like recent BC, I think.
Yeah.
And about how it was... than when it was taken over by the Christians. Oh, I'm going to butcher it. I need to know more history. I got a real history heart on when I was there.
Yeah.
But even outside of like, okay, we talk about what might be haunted or anything. Fuck, what? How number of ghosts? Just being in the Colosseum, like, yeah, this is where someone would fight a lion.
Did you go in the Colosseum?
Yeah.
So, like, you stood on the grounds.
The Colosseum, do you realize? What I didn't realize, it's a wood floor.
No.
The Colosseum had a wooden floor.
Really?
And it's because underneath it, and they kept stressing, and we had like a little Italian tour guide who was the best. He was like, because he was the most stereotypical Super Mario dude. But the way they do a tour, you have an earpiece. Like
did he say, I love it a paella?
Oh, so close to it. Yeah, so close. With his wrong references. Every year they hold the Super Bowl here. I just how love big, a bad tour guy.
How big was the Colosseum? Was it like a modern day like sports stadium or was it smaller?
Smaller, but still, I forget. I mean, even the way they described how the entrances narrowed as you went in to organize the people. Like it was done on purpose. A crowd of people would get in, but then they were forced into only a two-person wide area to measure out how many people were coming in. And then when you want to leave, like, and the stairs were tilted downwards to get people to move out quickly.
Wow.
Because, the stairs are pointed, like, sloped.
And why were the floors wooden, you were about to say?
Oh, because underneath all of it, that's where it was just all slave labor that was organizing the. And then who was fighting was usually slaves.
Yeah.
The gladiators were slaves. So they had all the animals down there and they had all the slaves down there. It was dark. And the woman that was part of the tour guide in that part, you can imagine the smell is pitch black and just slaves living down there with animals. Like the smell and just the heat. But they had, and they were rebuilding the floor as it was in the pulley systems that they had. Because it was all trap doors. So you're a gladiator, and you don't know what you're going to fight, which I had a great time thinking about, like, one guy just like, just come on, just put a dachshund up there. Because then the gladiator, like, somebody's got to die. So he would have to kill the dachshund, you know, to prove his strength. But then, like, everybody there is upset with him for killing a dachshund. He's like, but I have to.
Yeah, I didn't want
to
be here.
It's a visual thing that I thought was hilarious. And the emperor's like, it's either you or you got to let the dachshund kill you. Yeah. So but he's still got to put on a show. So he's got to pretend that the dachshund's kind of like, oh.
It's like a wrestler at that point.
Oh, God, he's got me by the throat. Yeah, it's like a throat. And then he's got to, like, stab a dachshund with a sword that's three times the size of that. I don't know. I had a whole scenario that I tried to do it on stage, but it's really more of a visual gag. But they were just down there like, oh, and so there was a trap, like, and that was a pulley system they had. Mm-hmm. And then how they built it. there was no connecting like concrete. It's all just block stacked on block that had iron clamps to hold it all together. And then because you see all these holes in the side of it, it's when they had to fight wars after the fact and nobody was using the Colosseum. They pulled all the iron out of it to make weapons.
Wow.
So that's why it's like, that's why half of it collapsed, is because they're taking all the iron out of it. But yeah, the floor was wood, and then underneath was like the backstage of a theater was where all the operations were. And that it was covered with sand because sand would absorb the blood.
Mm.
So it was like a big kitty litter.
Yeah.
Big litter box, but for blood.
Jesus.
And then just the floor, like the scene where Caesar was stabbed. Like, I didn't even know the story of that. And I'm like, oh, now I got to learn all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds, over 1,000 years old.
That's crazy.
And just and seeing that and just and then going to the Vatican.
You went to the Vatican?
Yeah, the Vatican's just impressive, even if even putting aside all the fucking pedo bullshit that they covered up for years and years. That's where I was like, every little thing you see at the Vatican is like, if you'd like to donate money, like, fuck you. I'm looking at a gold-plated castle. You want my money?
Yeah.
You stop fucking kids. I'll give you my money. Stop covering up.
Yeah.
For the way you've made being gay a sin, so you've forced gay people to, you don't want to answer questions about why you're not married? Become a priest and repress it. And now that you're a repressed gay man, here's a bunch of little kids you're in charge of. Anyway, that's a story for a different time, I guess. But it was a great trip.
Yeah.
I found out I snore real bad, though.
Yeah.
Which we were talking about. You got
me too.
Is it picking up for you?
Yes, it is.
Is it picking up, or are you just now? Is it now that you are living with someone?
That could be it too.
Because I was like, now we got 2 weeks where we're side by side, instead of me leaving on the road or anything.
My problem is I perpetually have, like, ever since I moved to LA, like, I've got sinus issues.
Too,
not like
too
severe.
Dry?
No, just I'm always clogged, and not like. Not to be gross, but not like wet clog. Just
no, I feel like that way too.
I think my passages are just shut for some reason.
I feel that way too.
So that's causing me to snore like a son of a bitch. So I've started using these Breathe Right strips. That helps.
I tried to put one on. It was just annoying.
Yeah, but it's supposed to pull open your passages.
I got a snore pillow.
Oh yeah, what's that?
It's basically just a fuck wedge.
I remember those.
Yeah, well, it's just that, but marketed differently.
Yeah,
and it came with like a thing of like of nose baskets, which are just look like rubber thimbles you jam in your nostrils.
Wow.
It was just I didn't even realize they came with the snore pillow, and it's just an angled pillow that you sleep on.
Okay,
which is fine if you're on your back, but if you lay on your side, it fucks up your whole back.
Yeah,
because you're sleeping on your side and at an angle.
Huh?
And then these. Nose baskets, and I'm like, I just felt like I had something in my nose all night, so I was like sniffing, and I just sleep on the couch now.
Oh, man,
that's what I learned on vacation the most. Outside of that, you know how Rome was created and then conquered by other things. I have a snoring problem, and
gotta go to a different country.
I think we're turning the learning annex into a bedroom.
Yeah,
R.I.P. learning annex.
Right on, man. Well, that sounds like a good time.
Sorry,
buddy.
I've been talking. This has been my episode of my Christmas break.
Oh, man. What'd you do for Christmas?
Oh, I just went back to old Chicago.
Yeah? Good visit?
Hung out. Hung out Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Mom made, what we got? We got some orange ruffy. That's a good fish, man.
Yeah.
That's a good fish. Orange ruffy in the broiler.
Ooh, nice.
And then got back on that ham tip.
Yeah.
I was going hard at the ham.
Yeah.
The Spanish ham was good, and I liked it, but I think I was getting it kind of a lot.
Uh-huh.
And then having honey baked ham, I think I hammed out.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was possible.
It happens.
But I was like, man, I was like starting to eat meat just out of obligation because I knew I was like getting my fill.
Yeah. Right on, man. New Year's? What'd you do New Year's?
Nothing.
We got back here.
Yeah, we're sitting here. Like, should we go anywhere? And then we didn't.
Nice.
And it was fine.
Oh, yeah.
It was fine with
New Year's is for amateurs anyway.
I don't give a shit. What'd you do?
New Year's? I just kicked it in.
Well, holiday. You stayed here for the holidays.
Stayed here for the holidays. Christmas.
What'd you make?
Went down to Katie's parents' place down in Orange County. And
did you get caught? Did you get caught whipping up the whole
dude.
Deal?
Dude. Yes. Like, her family's
that's
great.
That's what I was talking about, getting a day job.
Yeah.
Like, just do enough that you don't get fired. You went above and beyond early, and now it's expected from you.
Well, and that's fine. I like to cook, and I love to cook for people I care about. That's
well,
kind of the whole point about cooking. But her family's great, but they just don't communicate. Either that, or she's not relaying all the information correctly to me. I thought I was contributing to a potluck. So she's like, "Oh, do you mind just making a few things?" And I was like, "Sure." I wound up making the entire meal. If it weren't for me, we would not have eaten. And because I thought I was contributing to a potluck, it was
some staples.
No, it was a real hodgepodge meal. I made a big old batch of white chicken chili. My white bean chicken chili is fucking dank. I made
fucking dank.
It's really good.
I like that we're both adopting hip hop, like 5-year-old hip hop lingo.
Yeah.
Now that we're in our 40s.
15-year-old hip hop lingo.
Shit's fresh, bro.
I made a big old thing. I made like an 8-pound roasted pulled pork. I'm not going to call it barbecue. It wasn't smoked, but oven roasted pulled pork shoulder. Made that shit. I made a big old batch, two batches of biscuits.
Pork shoulder. What do you do with pork shoulder? Pull it? Pulled pork for sandwiches?
Yeah. Or just eat it pulled pork, you know, just entree style.
That's not like a sliced item.
No. It's about an 8-pound shoulder. Yeah. Rub it with my barbecue rub. Throw it in the oven for like 8 hours, low temp. Baste it a little bit.
Yeah, my cousin made prime rib.
Yeah.
Sliced meat.
Yeah, that's a whole different story, and that's great too. But this is so tender, by the time you pull it out, you just stab it with the tongs or the fork, and it just all kind of just falls apart. It was so good. So yeah, I made the white chicken chili. I made the pulled pork. I made two batches of biscuits, regular biscuits and my cheddar biscuits. I made hash brown casserole.
That's a pretty tidy spread.
Yeah.
What were you missing?
Banana pudding.
You thought it was a potluck.
Yeah, well, it was just I wouldn't have served that meal. Like, if you came over to my house, I wouldn't have made chicken chili and pork roast and biscuits. I would have, you know, tied it together a little better.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. But, everybody loved it.
Yeah.
But we show up and it's like, oh, I'm the only one who brought food. So they were just like, we didn't tell you?
They seem to. They don't take advantage because they know you're going to do it, but.
Yeah. But, I did that, and that was fine. Hung out there Christmas Day.
Well, you know you had a good meal then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you made it.
Yeah. And but Christmas Eve, Katie and I just stayed home, had our own little – it was our first little Christmas together in our own place. Had the Christmas trees, had everything going, and just went like full Italian. I made stuffed shells.
Oh.
I went up to Monte Carlo in Burbank, that nice Italian deli.
Okay,
just got like tons of shit for like a charcuterie plate.
I saw the picture of that charcuterie plate.
Oh,
I thought that was
that. No, that was our just hanging.
Like, you're getting good at the
Eve.
Photography and the presentation, by the way.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
put a lot of effort into it.
I'm like, that's.
But yeah, I had buffalo mozzarella, artichokes, pickles, salami.
You know it's Italian when there's not an A on the end.
Yeah, exactly. But so good. So yeah, just had stuffed shells,
little
salad.
What do you put
in
stuffed shells? Is ricotta?
Ricotta. Yeah. You take the ricotta cheese and then you add like some eggs and some chives and then Parmesan and a couple other things. Just mix all that shit up together.
Nice, big
make
red
a mixture.
Sauce on it.
Yeah. And then, then you stuff the shells with it and then you top it with some nice marinara or bolognese or meat sauce, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But man, it came out good.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Like I was in heaven in Italy just eating every. Oh. And then Rachel was off. Rachel normally does like the keto type thing, but she was off it too. So we could finally both just pick a restaurant and both eat there.
Yeah.
God, I love just pasta.
Yeah. It's the best.
Just basic Italian pasta. I was in heaven just eating all that shit. Mm.
Love all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was Christmas. New Year's, I visited the family in Georgetown, Indiana. I didn't do much. Oh, I made, New Year's Day, I made beef short ribs, braised beef short ribs.
We went out to eat last night. What's a short rib? What's a short rib?
It's beef. It's part of the cow, and it's just literally a short rib. You know, like normal beef ribs or pork ribs are longer. These are just a little short.
So is it like in your own rib cage? Is it like the ones that are in the back?
I don't know the cut. I'm not going to pretend to know.
All the way out?
Yeah, I don't know. But boy, so good.
Yeah.
Braised them in red wine. And, oh, man, for like 5 hours, braised that shit, made some homemade mashed potatoes, made some collard greens. Oh, it's good stuff. So, yeah, did that for New Year's. Then I started the tour. So I did, I think I did 12 cities in 15 days, something like that. And I won't go through every one, but just some culinary highlights. Man, you ever been to that Findlay Market in Cincinnati? It's in Cincinnati. They have this huge place. It's kind of like our Grove. Not the Grove, but the farmer's market.
I heard about it. I've never been to it.
Just as far as the eye can see of like butcher cases of homemade fresh sausage, all kinds of meats, pierogies, oh, all kinds of shit. So, yeah, Findlay Market, that was a highlight. I ate at Eli's Barbecue right next door. Cincinnati folks know that that's pretty solid. Birmingham, Alabama, dude, next time you go to Birmingham, our buddy Wes Van Horn, he's running Big Bad Breakfast.
I think he brought me some Big Bad Breakfast when I was there.
Big
before.
Bad Breakfast is the shit. They just take classic Southern breakfast and turn it to 11, and it's just everything's just unreal.
It's not Farmer Brothers. What's the name? I'm gonna find it. But there's a place that does that where I went to. Too. It's like giant, huge,
yeah,
but good portions of shit.
That's the one I took a picture of my omelet, and I think you said something about it. It looked like a sleeping bag. I mean, it looked like a 12-pound omelet. It was fucking amazing. So that was a highlight in Birmingham. Tuscaloosa had Archibald's Ribs, just this old rib shack's been there 50 years, just amazing ribs. Huntsville, Alabama had a great show at the Page, probably literally my favorite place to perform in the country. Just this old dive bar from like the 70s. Nothing's changed for 35 years. Just a nice hole in the wall dive bar. I always play that spot. Met some great boogers, hung out with Jesse and Kaylee, their buddies Jamie and Steph. Steph was celebrating her birthday. Just hung out after the show, watched the house band.
Yeah.
Just a classic rock cover band. Just kicking it with some good folks. Was not an incident, but a possible incident where I had a bit of a stalker situation, which usually I'm flattered.
Well, just the guy got a little sweet on you.
Just a weird dude lurking the whole night, trying to lure me back to his house. Kept saying, I only live 0.9 miles from here. Want to make me some homemade chicken noodle soup. And I'm always flattered when anybody gives a shit about what I'm doing. But this had some weird undertones. Even the folks who were, I think even
you got me too'd.
I think even Jess and Kaylee were like, I think that you got to watch out for that dude. So
you got me too'd.
I almost got me too'd. So that was fun.
Well, but also in the on both sides of it, you can understand what a lady goes through when
you're not also
someone who is a physical size to handle yourself.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But in also the sense of like. Fucking fag was hitting on me. He's like, lighten up.
Yeah, no, and I've never.
Probably.
Like,
no, I'm not
I've
saying.
Been hit on
I'm
before.
Not saying that yeah. that's what happened to you, but I'm just like saying, like, also both sides of like how it could be like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. No thanks.
Yep.
And it's not a threat.
No. But it was an annoyance. Eventually, it was just like, look, man, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're thinking, this ain't going
to
happen.
How clear do I have to make? Like, do I have to get to the point of. Thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
And risk being weird where someone's like, I thought we were just being friends.
Yeah.
And then, oh, I assumed the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Man, a lot of perspectives to take
on that one. Man, I thought this was pretty funny. You know how it is when you go out on these tours, and like, especially how I tour, I don't really do a lot of clubs, so it's all one-nighters. Just every night I'm in a different city, and they all just start to blend together. I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, the whole day walking around downtown. For about 2 or 3 hours, I thought I was in Memphis. Like, I knew I had driven to Little Rock, and I knew that all my calendar was low. But while I was walking around, I kept thinking, man, Memphis is pretty fucking nice. I haven't spent enough time in Memphis. I thought for like 3 hours. I thought I was walking around Memphis.
License plates in Memphis. Yeah. I wonder if they're playing a game here today or something.
Yeah, and then like eventually, like it hit me, like, oh, you fucking idiot! This is Little Rock. I don't know why. I was burnt out. Like, hadn't been sleeping, been driving every day. It all blurs together. But literally spent half the day thinking I was in a different city.
Well, we like a big mistake, like when a rock band would make the faux pas of like thanking the wrong city while they're there.
That happens.
And especially when you didn't drive yourself.
Yeah.
And all you knew is you got off a bus or checked into the hotel, and you know where the gig is on the map, but you didn't see the name of the state or the city.
Yeah.
You just know where. You put directions in your phone to the venue.
Yeah.
And you get to the venue.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I was like, dude, what are you, idiot? Like, wake up. But yeah, I literally thought, like, because I was walking around. I'd never been downtown Little Rock nor downtown Memphis. I was in Memphis the next day. So I had Memphis on the brain, but I was just like, oh, man, Memphis. Memphis is nice.
How often have you gotten back to a hotel, especially after having a few drinks, and had no idea what your room number was?
Every time.
Where you got to look like it, like you got to go to the front desk, like, can you tell me what room I'm in? And people think you're wasted, but it's also like, I've been in a different hotel for the last 8 days.
Yeah.
There's no way I remember.
Well, when I leave for the show, I do this every night. When I leave my hotel room for the show, right when I exit the door, I turn around and take a picture of the number.
Okay, smart move.
Yeah, because of that exact reason.
Well, and also you've been walked in on and walked in on a few people. Well, that didn't even have to do with your room number.
No.
I've had it where I'm like, my key doesn't work. And then somebody answers the door like, sorry, man. Totally wrong. This was my room last night.
Yeah. But speaking of Memphis, Central Barbecue, the best ribs I've ever had. Just big ass slab. That's a big slab.
That's a big award.
I think it's the best rack of ribs I've ever had.
Who did it take the title away from? Bloodsoes?
No. Bloodsoes is
good barbecue.
Real good.
Ribs,
yeah. Before that, best ribs I ever had. Well, my buddy Craig Holzer, he does.
Oh, yeah.
He works for Fox Brothers Barbecue in Atlanta. He used to have his own place called a catering company called King's Barbecue. He is about the best I've ever had, but I think this, I mean, he's listening, but
Craig.
It nudged him just by a hair.
Step up your game, Holzer.
Just by a hair. But yeah, just unreal. Like, God, just one of those. I think Central Barbecue's been there for like 50 years. And like you could just tell, they're like, "Yeah, we figured this shit out."
I love it when a place like we've been here for 50 years, and you're like, "This is terrible."
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, worst ribs in town. Like, I would love a place just to be like, "Worst ribs in town." You got to try them. it's bones from somebody else's table. Put some sauce on them and lick it off. You won't know the difference.
This one doesn't have meat.
This is a hamburger,
dude. I'll speed through this real quick. But man, ate so much damn barbecue on this tour, like. I was in Texas for a week, dude. Maybe
that's all you gotta say. I was in Texas.
Maybe the best brisket I've ever had in Dallas. Pecan Lodge Barbecue. Pecan Lodge Barbecue might be the best brisket, and I've had Franklin in Austin, which is supposed to be widely regarded as the best. If Franklin is better than
a lot of hype around that one.
If Franklin's better than Pecan Lodge, I couldn't tell. Like, it was neck and neck. Like, just, like, and obviously, like, I'm a big barbecue guy, but, like, and hyperbole is part of the barbecue game, but it was just, like, one of those where you're, like, it makes you mad. Like, I was eating, I was just, like, fuck! How did this... This is sorcery.
Imagine you eating by yourself, yelling that in the middle of a
meal. I was, like, angry. I was, like, what?! Like it
Pecan
was
Lodge?
Pecan Lodge Barbecue in Dallas. Damn. Just mind blowing. Just mind blowing brisket.
Because I hate saying this to you, but for barbecue, like the spectrum between okay and phenomenal is a very small movement of the needle.
I don't think you've had the good stuff, though.
But you said Bloodsoes is the best barbecue you ever had, and I've eaten it.
No.
Like, this is great.
Best barbecue I've had in L.A.
Oh, I thought you were saying tops.
I mean, it's real good.
Top five in the country? Or not, since you've had all this shit?
Yeah. Top 10 that I've had.
But, okay, I have that. I'm like, this is really good. And then I have some barbecue where somebody's like, yeah, this is all right. And I'm like, it's still like... in the flavor range of like, I'll eat barbecue once a year and be like, oh, I'm glad I had that.
Yeah.
But I'm never.
Well, there's so many variables, especially with a brisket.
I know there's styles and this and that.
But just even just like, how is it dry? Is it moist? Is it fatty? Is it lean? Is the bark? Can you taste the wood? Yeah. Can you taste the smoke? And like Pecan Lodge, it was fatty, had this nice crusty bark. You could taste that wood just. It was, I can't recommend it enough. On the contrary, the next day in Fort Worth, I had Heim Barbecue. Real good, but like just the brisket was so noticeable. Like like, I understand what you're saying, but like, if you came with me and I
it
said,
it was noticeable.
This, it was so noticeable, the difference. Of
oh,
like,
the difference. Like, I thought you were saying that as a flavor profile.
No, no. Just like, well, no.
I could really tell I was eating brisket when I ate the brisket.
No, no, the
like,
difference.
That was kind of, that was when I was at a bar and I was asking like some guy craft beer. Yeah. Like, it's got drinkability. I was like, get the fuck out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, I hope so because I plan on drinking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a drink.
But no, but like, Heim was really, really good, but like, the difference in the brisket was so. Like,
okay.
I mean,
like, so, like, my thing is, like, without having a side by side, I don't have the educated palate to tell a difference.
Yeah.
But all right.
Yeah. Pecan Lodge.
I trust you.
Yeah. I went on a little barbecue tour in Texas. Had Pecan Lodge in Dallas, had Heim Barbecue in Fort Worth, and then I had Tyler Barbecue in Amarillo. Tyler was excellent, too. The brisket, so
well, oh, Texas. If it's not good, they kill you. So I mean, that's
I will say about Heim Barbecue, the brisket wasn't my favorite, but they had bacon burnt ends. They had just these big chunks, fatty chunks of smoked bacon. Oh God! Oh,
You know what I did have in Spain because I was like eating meat anywhere. I did go to a Nashville chicken place in Spain.
Are you serious?
Like right across the street from where we're staying. I'm like, let me. People seem to like it, and I guess they don't do spicy food in Spain at all. I was
really?
Like, so is the hot? He's like. And the guy was like, well, you're from America, so you like it. But, like, the stuff that is hot on the menu, and it's too hot for people here, like, it's not hot at all. I'm like, give me the hot. And it was just sweet.
Really?
And it was fine. Uh-huh. But I've had, you know, the fucking, the blood of Christ, the Holland Rays.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a far fall from that. But I was kind of hoping to be a little bit like, let me get back into it. Yeah. It was still tasty.
That's funny.
But it was like the bread, the crust, it was mostly, it was like one of those things where you take one bite and then all that shit falls off of it.
Uh-huh.
And then the chicken inside was good and was tender, but then I'm just eating the crust with it. Like, I would rather have like a chicken breast that's been battered and each bite you get some of the breading with it.
Oof.
As opposed, it was like candy coated. Like that's how hard the crust was.
Yeah. I don't like it when it's that hard.
It was a bit much, but it was, I was like, hey, good for you. Like I was glad to see Nashville hot chicken make it all the way to Barcelona.
That's funny.
I was like, it is a good flavor. It deserves to be in more places.
Yeah. Speaking of Nashville, had a day off in Nashville. I've talked about this place before, but I went back to Husk, kind of celebrity chef Sean Brock's joint. Mm-hmm. Just like Southern, just high end Southern. Like all things Southern. He's really into like Southern vegetables and Southern ingredients, but just like really, he won the Beard Award a few years ago, like best chef in the country, but Husk in Nashville. So
very good. I ate White Castle in Nashville because they had the Impossible Burger.
Love White Castle, dude.
But anyway, I will thank Nashville Zanies and Huntsville Stand Up Live where I just got back from yesterday. I didn't hang out with anybody. I stayed in the back. I wasn't drinking and I was on antibiotics, but many, many thanks.
That's awesome.
Those shows were amazing. Yeah, I didn't kick it with anybody. I didn't show my face anywhere. But
yeah, me too, real quick. Not to get all sappy, but probably the best tour I've ever had in terms of like turnout and just as much fun. Just I've been doing comedy 12 years. Most of that time, no one's given a fuck about coming to see my show. But thanks to the boogers and thanks to people listening, man. People are coming out and just couldn't be more grateful. Like just every show. Sold out a show in Cincinnati. A lot of the shows packed out. And just, man, real this is new terrain for me to be sitting around pre-show, not having to stress, are they going to have to cancel the show because no one's here?
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So big thanks to everybody who came out. Just an absolute ball. And big thanks to a lot of people bringing gifts. People brought homemade gumbo, homemade chili. Yeah. Big shout out to Travis from, I think it's Yala Yala. Is that how you pronounce
it? All kinds of shit out here. Jala Jala. We got.
Yeah, it says Jala, but I think it's Yala or Hala.
Oh, like jalapeno, hala-hala.
Hala-hala, not
strawberry jalapeno jelly.
Hala-hala.
Jalapeno jelly.
Travis Blackberry brought a whole case of shit, man. All kinds of stuff.
You know what? Because I was talking about them fancy cheeses. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of shit that goes with it because it's sweet, but it's got spice.
Yeah.
It's hard to know where to put like a spicy jelly because not necessarily a toast type item.
Yeah.
But man, eat it with some cheeses.
And I brought this for you, buddy. This is for
me.
You
got me some Duke's mayonnaise.
Duke's mayonnaise. Anybody in the South knows that Duke's is the superior mayonnaise.
I will throw
mayonnaise.
A side-by-side. You know what? Try that
with your Miracle Whip.
I just threw out. It's different things, man. Yeah, it's a different situation. I just had to throw out some Hellman's. I always said that mayonnaise never went bad. And I look at some Hellman's. I think that was from three apartments ago.
And then I got you some classic Alabama white barbecue sauce.
And this looks like a ranch dressing.
Yeah, that is some good shit there. That's kind of Alabama specific, man. That's Big Bob Gibson's white sauce. I think he invented that.
I'm going to go tangle with this. It looks like ranch, I'm just going to dip stuff in
it's
it.
It's good stuff. And then just for the hell of it, I haven't seen this anywhere out here, but in the South, a lot of times I used to have Budweiser barbecue sauce.
I like both these things, so I'm going to have this.
Yeah,
Thank you, man.
Makes sense. But yeah,
I'm giving you some volcanic peppers, Aleppo pepper sauce.
Ooh, nice.
This is our gift-giving exchange after the fact of
but yeah, I want
sauce
you to,
exchanges.
I know you think you can't tell the difference in mayonnaise, but man, Duke's mayonnaise, it's a good time.
Should I throw a pinky in it right now?
I mean, if you want to. Oh, yeah, and then I got you some pickled okra.
Ooh.
So, yeah, some Texas pickled okra.
I'm going to raw dog this Duke's right
Dude.
Now.
Dude, that is hardcore.
About to raw dog the Duke.
Oh, I don't even like mayonnaise that much.
You don't?
But, you're just really getting in there.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, he's just going
to taste. I wish I had something to compare it to. I wish I could blind taste test it, except I threw out my old mayonnaise.
He's about to finger bang this Duke's.
Well, here, man, got some on my thumb already. Let's see. That's not a bad amount.
That's a decent amount right there. It's got some zip to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff, man.
You know what this is?
What?
This is your halfway stop between mayonnaise and Miracle Whip.
Probably so, yeah.
This is the train left mayonnaise that broke down not far out of the station towards Miracle Whip.
Yeah, okay.
It's mayonnaise,
yeah,
but with just a little bit of what's that Simpsons joke about? We need more special sauce. Go leave this mayonnaise in the sun for the afternoon.
Oh, man.
I love a mayonnaise.
Dude, I love mayonnaise, too.
Black people are wrong. Mayonnaise is great.
Was that joke you had on Whiskey Icarus?
Sorry,
black
people, but mayonnaise is fantastic.
When you said the spicy mayonnaise, and then that guy goes, spicy mayonnaise? You're like, of course you don't get spicy mayonnaise. Remember that? You were talking about how spicy mayonnaise would...
I know I have a joke, but I don't remember calling somebody
on Whiskey Icarus, and then some guy just went, spicy mayonnaise, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was funny.
Fucking racist.
But yeah, man, so that's...
Speaking of racism, black people, try Duke's Real Mayonnaise.
Oh,
you'll change your mind.
It's so good. Change your mind.
That's a good mayonnaise ad campaign. Black people, you change your mind if you have Duke's mayonnaise.
It's solid. It's a good time. I'll just eat a mayonnaise sandwich. Dude.
I would do it. I'd fucking eat a spoonful.
Man, just real quick. I bought me a jar, too. And so yesterday I went and bought some good ham and salami.
Got a lot of omega-3s.
Just an excuse to have mayonnaise on a sandwich. Just white bread, mayonnaise, and salami. Oh.
You ever fuck around with pimento loaf?
Yes, we talked about pimento loaf.
Did we?
I'm a big fan.
I'm trying to find what haven't we talked about? Oh, conspiracies? Most of them. Ghosts haven't even touched on half the haunted places, but have we talked about pimento loaf? Probably about 12 or 13 times.
We've talked about all the possible deli meats.
Especially when you throw a spicy deli meat, like a salami or a capicola, and then you cut it with the mayonnaise.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, on just dumb old white bread. Mm, good times.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm white trash.
Wonder bread. Just Wonder bread.
I'm a walking trailer park. So
that's all. Couldn't you just ball up a piece of white bread and deep fry it? Is that a hush puppy at that point?
No. I mean, there's more to a hush puppy than that. But
is there?
That could work. Yeah, there's cornmeal.
What if you just deep fried a ball, snowballed some Wonder Bread?
It's worth a shot. Dip it mayonnaise first?
Yeah, what if you scotch egged some Wonder Bread?
There you go.
Ball up some white bread.
Yeah.
Or if you just take a meatball,
palm
some Wonder Bread around it.
Ooh.
You take SpaghettiOs meatballs, but palm Wonder Bread around it, then deep fry it. And that's not a scotch egg. That's
something.
It's a Florida egg. I don't know where I'm going. What do we got? We got to end this. We didn't talk about shit.
We forgot to talk about the thing.
We just had. Oh man. We just talked to each other. We've been hanging out all day. We still got an hour, 12 minutes out of this.
That's true, man. Yeah, we had it's ramen today.
Well, I'll do. I'm going to throw down a little comic of the week.
Oh, we saw Macaulay Culkin today.
We did see Macaulay Culkin.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel said he walks around with a cooler at Capri Suns.
That's weird.
And we're like, is he just trying to be weird? And then Rachel was like, he's just been there. Yeah, you were Home Alone.
Yeah.
At 10 years old. Yeah. You were Uncle Buck and Home Alone. And then as far like now you're just a dude still being weird for the sake of weird.
Yeah.
But like kind of fun.
Good for him.
I got no problem with you.
No, good for him.
And didn't he just redo, like, made his own Home Alone trailer or something recently?
Oh, really?
He just did something stupid. Like, I think the guy, you know what? He's messing around with his own image, and I appreciate that. When somebody fucks with what you think they're supposed to be. I still got to watch that new Karate Kid that's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that either.
But I'm going to throw out.
What do we got?
My dear, dear friend, Matt Bronger, has a special that I saw him record a long time. It's finally coming out. February 8th, finally live in Portland, February 8th.
Okay.
So we're about a couple weeks out from it. But Bronger's one of the best.
Yeah.
And he's my pal. And he's got this special coming out. I'm looking at on Amazon. You can see it on Amazon. But get on it. Get on that pre-order price. And my good friend Matt Bronger. It's one of those things where like a bit of his popped into my head where it's more the concept of it. And I was like, what if there was a savory Willy Wonka?
That is a funny thing.
Like, what if he had the whole Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but it was
like, just a bunch of gravy.
And he just sings a song, and I'm butchering it. So he's like, my, look at you. Let's take a journey down my river of stew. And it's just, the whole thing is just like gravy and mashed potatoes.
Oh,
like, it's just
great.
How disgusting it would be
if Willy Wonka
was savory. I'm like, that's only from the mind of Matt Bronger. So
I would love that.
Check out Finally Live in Portland when it comes out February 8th. What you got? We gotta land this thing. We got a business call in 4 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's true. Let's plug our got a live date coming up together in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah,
March 22nd at the Burning Bridges Festival. We'll be at Club Cafe.
That's
the 22nd.
Almost sold out, right?
Last I heard, there's like literally like 20 tickets left. So
fucking get them now.
So get on that shit. I got a bunch of dates coming up in March. Michigan people, I am coming.
Good Duke's mayonnaise.
I'm doing 8 cities in Michigan in March.
Is that the thing about Duke's? Is that it tastes like it went a little bit bad?
Oh boy, I don't know, but I love it.
Try all our varieties.
Traverse City, Kalamazoo, Lansing, Detroit, Waterford, Burton, Lapeer, Ann Arbor. Also doing Dayton, Ohio. I'll do Baltimore.
When the hell are you going on tour?
All that shit. In March. DumbDaveStone.com's
That's
got all those
like
dates.
A month away, dude.
Yeah, but I gotta get those pre-sales. Right. So, yeah.
Well, and also we're going to – well, I don't think it's out yet, but keep an eye out. March 23rd, we're going to be back in New York doing a live Boogie Monster.
Oh, okay.
As part of the – True Crime Festival. Even we don't know the details.
Yeah.
I think we just confirmed it.
Okay.
Not sure tickets are out yet, but Pittsburgh on the 22nd, 23rd, and I think we're going to try and get new shirts. But, hey, we only talked about it today, so who knows if we'll get our shit together.
Good to be back.
Yeah, man. I'll plug my shit. I'm not going to get much.
What do you got?
The 29th, Tuesday the 29th in L.A., Dynasty Typewriter. Come on out. I'm going to be doing an hour and change. Or February 8th at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach. Have you been down there yet?
No.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good part of a fun zone, too.
Okay. Right
so on. If you didn't like the show, fuck it. Play some laser tag afterwards. Get your mind off of it. Okay. And I got more dates coming up later on that we got. Now that we're back on track.
Yes. I forgot to mention February 8th and 9th, I'll be in Seattle at Laughs Comedy Club.
So, ooh, February 8th and 9th. Old Seattle.
Kind of a last minute date.
You know how they call it Old Seattle.
Yeah, I think that is how they say that. So. All right. Good to be back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. We're glad to be back in the flesh.
Yeah.
So holler at your boys. Eat more mayonnaise.
I just had another finger full of it.
Yeah, you did.
The Boogie Monster.